Spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to God.
Jesus went through one town and village after another, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" Jesus said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. When once the owner of the house has got up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then in reply he will say to you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But the Lord will say, 'I do not know where you come from. Go away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrown out. Then people will come from east and west, from north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to Lord Jesus Christ.
This evening, Jesus talks about probably the central truth of our faith as it applies to us, which is our salvation. And this evening and over the next few weeks, Father Gary and I are going to be preaching about truth. So the central truth of our faith is, for us, our salvation. But in order to think about how important this central truth is, I would like to tell you about what I consider to be one of the hardest truths of our faith, one that many people do not understand, including many Catholics, maybe you this evening, and certainly people outside the church find this really hard to believe, that we're supposed to do this, live like this. And I'm talking about the church's teaching, which says that we are not to use artificial contraception. When we're married, when we're intimate with each other, we're to use natural ways of being together and living together as husband and wife. One of the things I do several times a year is I go to Toronto and I help with a marriage preparation course, and I give the talk about the church's teaching, which says we're not to use contraception and that we are invited instead to use natural family planning. I don't know what you imagine that talk would be like, but when I go down to Etobicoke every few months and I see this room full of young people, couples in their 20s and 30s, who are wonderful young people, and many, I imagine, have been living together because that's the reality of life these days. For them, I think, for most of them, if not all of them, what I'm going to say to them will be a brand new idea. How are they going to accept, receive, or are they even going to understand what I say when I explain to them what the church expects of them as they come to the church to receive the sacrament of marriage? But the reality is, even though Pope Paul VI, about 50 plus years ago, said that that's the way we're all supposed to live, as I mentioned before, many Catholics, especially in countries like Canada, the US, etc., have thought that did not apply to them, that there were ways they could get around that. And certainly, again, in the world around us, the whole idea of natural family planning as against contraception makes no sense. People don't understand it. They think it's crazy. Maybe you think it's crazy this evening. I don't know, because maybe some of you this evening have not yet understood or accepted the church's teaching about natural family planning. So I'll tell you what I do, because it's hard, right? A room full of people eagerly looking forward to getting married, having to hear something that's going to be probably surprising or even incomprehensible. What I do is I like to begin with the most important truth of our faith, which again may be unfamiliar to people who are perhaps coming to the church for the first time in a long time because they want to get married in the church. And that is the truth of our salvation. The truth that Jesus Christ talks about this evening when he says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Someone asked him, Lord, will only be few be saved? He says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Every one of us who are here this evening, all around us in Hanover, all over the world, need to hear Jesus' words, strive to enter through the narrow door. I would say all the truths of our faith, including how we're to live as married people and many other things besides, all begin and end with that one invitation of Jesus, strive to enter through the narrow door. The question the person asks is a great question. It's about salvation. It's about what is our eternal destiny. This is the central truth of our faith. And if we don't understand that, if we don't receive from Jesus Christ this gift of eternal life by accepting him, by being members of his church, then everything else that the church asks us to do in Jesus' name will surely make even less sense. But I'm aware, again, if you put myself back into my talking to these young couples, that for many of them, and maybe for you again this evening, maybe this whole idea of salvation is unfamiliar. People come to church, maybe you come to church for all kinds of good reasons and different reasons. But I think the language of salvation, the absolutely urgent necessity that we make this a central truth of our lives, is not familiar to many people. Maybe not to you. So I think over the last so many years, decades, perhaps my lifetime, we've gotten to a point where those who are trying to be faithful to the church, the Catholic Church, to the Christian faith in general, in other churches even, we find ourselves in a minority. We find ourselves a bit like Moses, who when he was traveling and had his family and stuff, he said, I found myself a stranger in a strange land. Moses says, I found myself a stranger in a strange land. The world around us has changed. The world here, we've all changed because we're all part of the same culture. These great truths of our faith, the most difficult and the most important, are increasingly hard for many of us to understand. And I think I can shed a little light on that because I have an experience of coming into a strange land, because I don't know if you noticed, but I'm not from here. I'm at home here, but I'm not from here. And when I came to Canada as a kid, I had a funny experience, which was, unlike most immigrants to Canada who don't speak English, have to learn English, I spoke English. I spoke great English. I spoke the Queen's English, which is to say a very British English. Thelma's smiling because I think she can relate. So when I came to Canada, I thought, these people are not speaking English correctly, even as a kid, seriously. Because the English that we speak here, I like to think I've adapted. You can tell me if I speak your English or not, but it's much more American than I'm used to. Just a few months ago, I was talking to a lady who came to Canada from Hong Kong, and she was doing a session on welcoming newcomers to Canada, training people in Grey County to welcome newcomers, because we have people from different cultures joining us, right? And we were joking in this session, because like myself, because she's Hong Kong, was a British colony, just like where I'm from, she said, yes, I was used to speaking British English, and I had to adapt to Canadian English. Anyways, when you come to a new culture, you have to learn the language. If you want people to understand you, you've got to speak their language. You can't expect them to learn your language. And right now, we're in that situation. If I talk of the hardest truth of our faith, one of the hardest ones, I think, for married couples to live, for all of us to live, it would be something like, we say no to artificial contraception and yes to natural family planning. If I talk about the central truth of our faith, salvation, these things are unfamiliar to most people around us. One of the most important things we need to do, first of all, is to receive the truths ourselves and then learn. And I think it takes effort to learn how to share these truths with our family, our friends, and people around us. People have no idea what it is we're doing as Christians and specifically as members of the Catholic community. Why do we do these things? Why is salvation so important? Why is birth control so important to us? And I'd like to tell you a few things that I think I learned from trying to specifically to teach about birth control to young couples preparing for marriage. And the first thing I learned is to make sure that everyone whom I'm speaking to understands, as I hope you understand this evening, that as much as I embrace the truths of our faith, I'm still struggling. People need to know that just because we as a church have been given the truth, it's as a gift, not as a possession. We don't possess the truth. It's not ours. We're not better than other people because we have been given the truth as a gift by God. We're still struggling. People need to know that. And I think the second thing, something I do when I'm driving down to Etobicoke, is I pray for the couples whom I've never met before, probably won't meet again, because I really want to love them. I want them to know that when I'm speaking to them, and I'll only be with them for a few hours on that day, as they're getting ready for marriage, which is a really big deal, a life-changing event, that they know that I love them, that I care for them, that I'm not there to make them feel bad or feel guilty. And so often people feel like that when you tell them, this is how you're supposed to live, and that's brand new to them. They've never thought about it before. If they had, it made no sense. People need to know that they're loved before they're going to listen to us and to the truth that God has shared with us. And I think the third and really important thing is that people also need to know that when we accept the truth that God gives us, the truth of salvation, and all the truths about how we're supposed to live, it does not make life harder. Yes, it calls for sacrifice. Using natural family planning instead of birth control calls for sacrifice in marriage. True. But these truths are joyful. They set you free. I have to tell you, as I tell them all, and I talk to my wife about this before I tell you this, one of the most amazing gifts we received as a couple when we took marriage preparation is that somebody there said to us, natural family planning, something we barely heard about almost 30 years ago. And we went to a little session, couple-to-couple training, on how to use natural family planning as a couple. That's a gift we receive. It still means that we've struggled in our marriage at times. We've got problems like everyone else, but I can tell you, when you accept the discipline that God offers us, it doesn't make life harder. It does make life harder in a way, but it really does set us free. It brings us joy. And that's what we hear in the second reading from Hebrews. The letter of the Hebrews says, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him, for the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves. So if what I've been saying to you so far is far from your mind and heart at this point, maybe about salvation, maybe about birth control, maybe about the whole thing that God has given us the truth and that we have to accept it and even share it. If that's hard for you this evening, first of all, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here because it gives you a chance to think about things that are really important, that affect, as Jesus points out, our eternal salvation. I also invite you to be patient. Allow yourself to think about why is it that God wants us to accept the gift of salvation? Why does God want us to live as married couples in this way, with natural family planning, and not otherwise? And be willing to learn, as I hope I'm willing to learn. There's actually a couple in our parish. Their names are in our bulletin. If you look up natural family planning in the bulletin, if it's not something that you're familiar with or have thought about much, Matt and Tracy, their name and phone numbers are there. Call and ask them. You can certainly find this stuff online if you want. Talk to Father Gary or me. It's really important. It affects us in the most intimate part of our married lives. This truth that Jesus gives us, he says, is like a narrow door. That means it's hard to get through. He says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Strive. That word is almost like the word agony if you go back to the original. We've got to strive all our lives, all of us, no exceptions, including me for sure. strive to enter through the narrow door. And this evening, I want to remind you that in another place, in John's Gospel, Jesus says that he is the gate. He is the way. How do we get to heaven? How are you going to get to heaven? How am I going to get to heaven? It's only through Jesus. And you need to know, and I want to remind you, that you are loved so much, not just that you are created, that you live, but that Jesus gave his life for you to know, so you would know that the Father loves you so much. All of us, no exceptions, no matter how closely we've been to him or how far we've been from him, no matter how much we followed his ways, no matter how much we've turned away, doesn't matter, we are loved. Jesus himself is the way. And what we celebrate this evening is that every Mass is his gift to us of his whole being, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's what the Eucharist is. We're celebrating that gift together. And when we come up to receive him, remember, you are receiving Jesus, who called himself also the truth. Let us rejoice with hope for ourselves and for everyone, that even though the door is narrow, Jesus opens the door for us if we say yes. And he himself tells us that God's will to save all those who say yes to him will be fulfilled when he says, "People will come from east and west, from north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last."